United Artists presents a David Kirshner production, a Tom Holland film. A figure chases another figure down a dark, misty street.
I got the Strangler, Wabash and Van Buren.
Flashing blue lights flare up on a sedan as it speeds off. The figure being chased has a gun. The swarthy man called Mike fires back, misses and hits a car window. The chased man Ray makes a break across the road. He dives over a car. He ducks by the front wheel arch, then runs again. Ray falls as he's shot in the leg.
Jack, get the van!
Help me! Don't leave me, God, no!
Ray, with long hair, hobbles behind an iron pillar as Eddie speeds off without him, pursued by a police car. He limps past a pink and red neon sign reading Jimmy Wong's Cantonese Restaurant. The swarthy man follows. Jimmy fires and misses.
Give it up, Ray! It's over!
Ray, in a toy shop doorway, shoots the lock. He stumbles inside, pursued by Mike. Mike enters the dim shop. Colourful boxes are stacked around him as he stalks with a pistol at the ready. Yellow boxes containing dolls are stacked on display. Child's play. Ray peeps furtively over one of the dolls that's out of its box. A 3-foot doll with ginger hair, large bulbous forehead, blue dungarees and a sardonic grin. Ray takes a shot at Mike, but misses. Mike shoots back, hitting Ray in the chest. He falls over backwards into a stack of pink boxes. Mike sneaks over to where Ray fell, only finding a trail of blood. He follows the trail with his gun poised to find Ray's abandoned blood-stained coat. Ray stumbles down an aisle of boxes, clutching his chest. Ray collapses behind a glass cabinet which contains a baby doll against a wall of metallic magenta foil.
Oh God, I'm dying. You hear that, you son of a bitch? I'm gonna get you for it! I'm gonna get you! And I'm gonna get Eddie! No matter what!
A sour-faced Ray continues to limp clumsily along an aisle of packaged toys.
I gotta find somebody.
Ray staggers up to the stack of ginger-haired dolls. Soaked in blood, Ray collapsed into the pile of yellow boxes, pulling them down on top of him. Screenplay by Don Mancini and John Lafia and Tom Holland. Mike, with his gun still at the ready, tiptoes over. Ray pulls one of the dolls towards him. On the box reads, "Good guys, he wants you for a best friend." Ray stares at the doll. He reaches in and pulls the doll out of the box and drags it towards him, produced by David Kirchner, directed by Tom Holland.
A day to eat, Emma. Give me the power, I beg of you!
Ray chants. A streak of lightning hits Mike as it tears through a skylight. The good guys in the shop go flying, as does Mike. A ball of flame blows out the shop front. Debris slowly falls through the night and settles. Mike staggers to his feet and looks about him incredulously, then steps gingerly among the flaming wreckage. His eyes fixed on a point ahead, Mike lurches up some steps, then stares down. He breathes deeply. Ray lies on his back, his blue eyes wide open. The doll, which also has blue eyes, lies beside him. Flames flicker over its face. Day, in a living room, a banner reads Happy Birthday. There's a big, gift-wrapped box.
Friends, no one will play with me. Uh-oh, there's a friend in need. Hey, cheer up! Who are you? I'm a good guy. I've just come from the Good Guy Clubhouse, and I'll be your friend to the end. You will? You mean you'll be my friend now? Sure I will.
Hidey-ho, ha-ha-ha!
I saw this one.
A little boy, Andy, wearing pajamas, watches the TV program, then climbs on a stool and gets two slices of bread from a packet on a worktop. He then puts the bread in a toaster on the work surface. He gets down, then climbs to another worktop, where he overfills a bowl with cereal.
All right, good guys. That's our good guy show for today. But don't go away, because we've got a very important good guy message just for you.
Andy splashes on milk.
Hi, good guys. Boy, have I got news for you. Now you can have your very own good guy doll. That's right. You can have all the adventures we have on TV in your very own home. Good guys say three different sentences. We even turn our heads and blink our eyes when you talk to us. Right, Oscar?
Hi, I'm Oscar, and I'm your friend to the end. Tidy-ho! Ha 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 ha!
Wow!
Every good guy has a name all his own, so he can be your very own best friend. So remember to tell Mom and Dad you want a good guy. Perfect for birthdays or just any old time. And remember, you can buy all of our good guy accessories too. Right, Oscar?
Right!
Brought to you exclusively by Play Pals, makers of good guys and other fine toys. Found in toy stores throughout the greater Chicago area.
Andy takes burnt toast and the cereal on a tray.
Mommy, wake up!
Orange spills from a glass in the tray as he runs.
Mommy.
He kicks open her bedroom door and enters.
Mommy, wake up!
Little Andy struggles to lift the tray onto her bedside cabinet.
Mommy, wake up! Wake up, Mommy, wake up!
He bounces on her.
Andy,
wake up!
30, it's only 6:30 in the morning.
He opens the curtains.
Oh.
But it's a beautiful day outside, see?
It certainly is. How long you been up, birthday boy?
Since forever. I made you breakfast in bed.
You did? Oh, God. Oh, thanks. Well, this looks just excellent. I'll tell you what. Why don't I eat this just a little later, okay?
Mm-hmm. But first, I gotta give you your super duper birthday Tommy gummy. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. That's one. How many years old are you today? Two.
Oh, happy birthday, pumpkin.
Thanks. Can we open my presents now, Mommy?
Yes, we can.
Terrific!
In the living room...
Morning, Chicago. Leading off at this hour, Charles Lee Ray, the notorious Lakeshore Strangler, was shot and killed shortly before 3 a.m. this morning on Wabash Avenue.
Can I open this first, Mommy? Can I?
Andy, don't you want to start with the smaller one first?
He shakes his head.
Okay. Go ahead.
Andy rips open the big package.
Well, think. You need these clothes so badly. Hey, I think they're going to be okay. We'll just have to take them up just a couple of inches.
He stares glumly at a pair of jeans.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, I know. You want some toys, don't you? Not boring old clothes. Try the other one.
Andy sulkily unwraps a smaller package, a good guy's tool chest.
Well, what do you think?
I want a good guy to go with it.
I know you do, Andy, but I didn't know about it in time this month to save up for it.
Dark-haired Andy lowers his eyes. A damp day in the city. In a department store, a young woman runs up to Andy's blonde mum, who's working at a jewellery counter.
Karen. Oh, you know that doll that you wanted for Andy? Well, it costs $100.
Yeah, the good guy doll.
There's a peddler in the alley behind the store, and I think he's got one.
What? What would a peddler be doing with the doll?
Who cares? Would you grab your purse and come on? We can get a deal on it.
But I can't just leave my counter.
Do you want the damn doll or don't you?
Of course I do.
Well, then come on. Come on.
All right.
They head out a back way.
There he is.
They hurry over to a man in a shadowy alley.
Okay, show her.
The peddler gets a box from his shopping trolley.
Well, is it a good guy or not?
It is. It is.
Yeah, well, I told you.
Oh, how much do you want for it?
$50.
10, and not a penny more.
30.
Well, what are you kidding? That thing is not worth $30.
Hey, look, take it or leave it. Somebody else will buy it.
I'll take it.
Karen, it's too much money.
No, it isn't. You have no idea how much Andy wants this doll.
But we don't even know if the damn thing works.
There you go, lady. May it bring you and your kid a lot of joy.
Thank you.
Hey, hold on, you! How do we know the damn thing isn't stolen, huh?
Steal this!
Yeah, steal this yourself. Maggie, I think I dated him.
Come on, we gotta get back to work.
Mrs. Barclay, so nice of you to drop by. Have a nice break.
I'm sorry, Mr. Criswell. I was only gone for a minute.
Have a heart. Criswell, we were just downstairs buying our little boy a birthday present.
We have specified break times for activities like that, Miss Peterson. Mrs. Howe has taken sick, and we're shorthanded tonight. You'll have to fill in for her.
I can't. I have to pick up my son at the daycare center in an hour.
I'm sorry. This is an emergency.
Wait a second. I'll take over for her.
Miss Peterson, you work in shoes, not in jewelry. You'll just simply have to do it. Now, you can take off at 5, but you'll have to be back at 7.
It's my son's birthday.
Mrs. Barclay, are you happy with your job here?
Yes, of course I am.
Then I suggest
Hey, chill out, would you, Walter? Huh? I'll take care of Andy for you.
Oh, Maggie, you can't do it again.
Don't be silly. It'll be the hottest date I've had in months.
I can't imagine why.
Maggie looks at him poker-faced. Karen and Andy arrive home.
Guys are on TV.
Well, I may have something better for you.
What?
The parcel she's carrying.
This isn't groceries.
Andy struggles with its bulk. He runs into the living room of their light and airy apartment, opens the parcel and pulls out the doll.
A good guy! I knew it! I knew you'd get me one!
Show me how he works, okay?
Hi! I'm Andy! What's your name?
Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'm your friend to the end. Heidi-ho!
Wow, he's something, isn't he?
Oh, Mom, thanks!
He hugs her.
You're welcome, honey.
If I get you out, I get myself in.
Afro-haired redhead Karen sits picking at chocolate cake. Andy sits in front of the TV hammering a toy. He turns to Chucky.
See? That's how you build
things. WDOL with a late-breaking report. Eddie Caputo, reputed accomplice of Charles Lee Ray, has just escaped the Michigan Avenue precinct. More details to follow in the News at 9, next.
Chucky's head turned to watch the report.
Hey, Chucky, you're not watching me.
Chucky turns back to him.
Wanna play?
Hey, it's time for bed, Andy.
No, sir. Never saw the little swab before.
What's Come on, Chucky. We have to get ready like to go to bed.
Andy turns to walk away, but then turns back and kneels in front of Chucky, who hasn't moved. He puts his ear close to the doll's lips.
Aunt Maggie, Chucky wants to watch the 9 o'clock news.
Sure he does.
Slender Maggie goes to pick up Andy.
Okay, kid. Off we go. Come on. There we go.
Chucky.
Oh, yes. Chucky. You two. Off we go.
Chucky's helmet falls off as she seizes him.
Now, it's a brush your teeth and under the covers with you.
Okay. Agreed.
Good. Okay. You yell when you're ready for me to tuck you in.
She dumps the doll, then puts Andy down.
Hey, Chucky. Wanna see my room?
Maggie tidies plates in the kitchen. Andy, wearing PJs, pads to the bathroom.
Andy, are you brushing your teeth?
Yes, Aunt Maggie.
Good.
Now for action news of 9.
In Washington today,
in the kitchen, Maggie jumps, hearing the TV. She gapes when she looks across the living room and sees Chucky sitting in an armchair watching TV.
Back to you, Steve.
Thank you, Terry. In other news, police have now clarified the information regarding the escape of Eddie Caputo. Authorities say that Caputo managed to elude his captors while being transferred onto a prison bus on his way to court.
Maggie switches off the TV. She grabs Chucky roughly by one arm and marches along the hallway to the bathroom.
Okay, mister, what do you have to say about this, huh?
About what?
Come on. Come on. You know, you have to learn that when I say something, I mean it.
What did I do?
You know what I'm talking about? Turning the TV on and putting Chucky in front of it when I told you it was time to go to bed?
I didn't do that.
Oh, no. What did Chucky do? Walk into the living room and turn it on all by himself?
Did you do that, Chucky?
Andy, stop it. Now, come on, under the covers. Hurry.
But Andy...
Under the covers and not another word.
But I didn't put Chucky in front of the TV.
Shh, enough, okay? Give me a kiss. Good night, baby. And happy birthday.
Good night, Aunt Maggie.
She tucks them both in and turns out the light. She glances back suddenly as if trying to catch someone out, then shuts the door. Chucky's eyes are wide open.
I told you she'd be mad at you if you watched the news.
Andy kisses Chucky on the cheek. The doll is almost as big as Andy, who turns over and shuts his eyes. Chucky's piercing light blue eyes stare into the darkness. Night in the slushy street outside Karen's apartment block. In the apartment, six floors up, Karen sits reading by lamplight with her legs up. The TV is on. She gets up to close and lock a window.
Too bad about the accident.
Yes. Kind of close. They just found it. How did you know?
I must have heard it somewhere.
I haven't seen you in so long, darling. I mean, could we take a little walk or something?
Pulling the large cardigan she's wearing more tightly about her, Karen sits back down and resumes reading with her feet up and tucks her chin into her chest. A door handle along the hallway turns and a door opens. Someone heads along the wide hallway and looks in on Karen, then retreats quickly. A small figure runs behind her. Maggie stares over her shoulder towards the kitchen, her expression tense. Slowly she turns back to her book. A chair is slowly dragged across a carpet and onto parquet flooring. Hearing the noise of the chair as it goes from the carpet onto the floor, Maggie turns sharply. She looks to an archway leading into the brightly lit hallway and gets up.
Andy, is that you?
Brow furrowed, she walks tentatively towards the hallway. She peers round a corner into shadows and towards Andy's bedroom door, which is open. Her face fixed in a tense expression, Maggie turns slowly to look down the other end of the hall, past a table with a lamp on it which lights the arched section in the centre. Beyond, in the shadows, she sees a wooden chair against the front door. Maggie walks very slowly towards the door. Looking about her, she reaches out a hand and grabs the door handle. The door opens a crack. She hurriedly shuts it and locks it. Hearing the noise behind her, she wheels round. Her jaw clenched, she walks stiffly but steadily towards the shadowy living room, where lights twinkle beyond the net curtains at a bay window. Maggie turns on the living room's main lights and scans about. In the kitchen, she looks down at the floor to see spilled sugar.
How did that happen? Hello?
Hi, how's it going? How's Andy?
Karen?
Yeah. Who else would it be? Is something wrong?
No. No. Everything's fine.
Are you sure? You don't sound like everything's fine.
No. I just had a bit of the alone at night willies, you know? Now, would you stop worrying and give Criswell a kick in the pants for me, huh?
You got it. Hey, listen, Maggie, thank you for everything. You're a real pal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Give Annie a kiss for me, will you? See you soon. Bye.
Someone picks up the hammer Andy was using. Maggie gets a brush and pan. She squats, lifts a dish off the floor and puts it on a work surface, then begins to sweep up. Hearing a noise, she jumps, then slowly puts down the long-handled brush and the pan. She turns and stares over at three leafy plants on closely positioned pedestals of increasing height. She goes to the middle pedestal. She pulls it aside. There's nothing behind it.
What is wrong with me? I'm scaring myself half to death.
She turns away. A hammer hits her between the eyes. Maggie reels backwards against the kitchen table, then out of a window. Her body smashes onto a car roof. The net curtains blow at the broken window. Karen gets off a bus opposite her building. She waves to someone on the bus, then once it has passed, sees an ambulance and police cars outside her building where a crowd has gathered.
Come on, move it back. There's nothing to see. Well, let's move this police line back. Go on home, folks. Please.
She races across to the scene, ducking under cordon tape to get to the main door of her apartment building, and hurriedly enters. Karen takes an old-fashioned lift up to her floor.
Well, miss, whoa, what do you think you're doing?
I live here.
She bursts into the apartment, which is crawling with police and forensics people.
Andy?
Yeah, we're all finished up here.
What's wrong? Where's Maggie?
She had an accident.
An accident? What kind of an accident?
Miss Barkley, I'm Detective Mike Norris. Homicide. Could I talk to you out in the hall?
Why? What's happened to Maggie?
Please.
Squatting, she turns to Andy.
I'll be right back.
He nods as she caresses his cheek, then stands and heads out of the room with Mike following. Mike gives Andy's head a friendly rub.
Look, Miss Barkley...
He sees Andy holding Chucky and watching them. Mike steers Karen away.
What?
Miss Peterson's dead, Miss Barkley.
What? How?
She fell from your kitchen window.
No.
Mike supports Karen.
You all right?
Yes.
All right. Come on.
He leads her to the kitchen.
Check over here.
Karen sees the broken window.
Oh, Maggie. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost done, of course.
You got any idea what these are?
Footprints in the spilled sugar.
No.
They look like footprints, don't they? Very small footprints.
What are you implying?
I don't know. What would Andy be doing up on the counter, right?
What?
Besides, I already checked his closet. None of his shoes match these prints.
Mommy! Mommy! Chucky wanted to know what was going on.
Andy, I want you to go to bed. The detective and I are very busy.
But, Mom...
Right now, please.
He's holding Chucky.
Andy, what you got on your feet?
Good guy PJ sneakers.
Wow.
Come here. Mike squats before Andy.
Can I see the bottoms of them?
Sure.
Ooh, look at this, huh? There's a gun. Is that a cowboy hat?
Andy... Get into bed. I'll be in a minute to tuck you in.
But, Mom...
Right now.
Andy goes off sulkily, clutching Chucky.
Why are you treating Andy like this? If he says he doesn't know how those footprints got there, then he doesn't.
Look, Mrs. Barkley, if somebody made those footprints, if not Andy, then who?
I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is that I've just lost my best friend tonight to a horrible accident, and I would like some time alone with my son, who I'm sure is just as upset about this as I am.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll clear everybody out of here right away, okay? Hey, guys, you done, huh? Let's go. Chop, chop. Let's go, everybody. Out of here. Okay.
Karen removes her coat. In his room, Andy turns out his lamp and gets into bed, minus Chucky.
What do you think was so important about my sneakers, Chucky? You don't know either, do you?
Chucky's sitting in a chair with his feet pointing towards Andy. Andy yawns, then sits up and looks across at the doll. Andy gets out of bed and goes to inspect Chucky's shoes. There's white powder on the red soles. Andy runs out of his room as Mike's leaving.
Let me know if you find out anything about those footprints.
Mommy! Mommy, I know who was on the kitchen counter.
Andy!
Who, Andy?
Who?
Chucky!
Your doll?
He nods.
Andy, that's enough stories for tonight. Now, come on, back to bed. Now, I mean it.
But, Mom...
She gives him a warning look and he obeys.
Good night, detective.
She hurries Mike out, but he pops back.
What?
Are you gonna call me?
You don't give up, do you?
I just, I hate loose ends.
And I hate people who don't know when to stop.
Ouch!
A spirited lady.
No kidding. I want that autopsy report on my desk first thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And anything you can find out about Miss Barkley and her son.
You got it! Anything else I can do for you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Here. Give this to the lab. Found it in the corner of the kitchen.
What is this?
Possible murder weapon.
No!
The hammer.
Come on, you're kidding me! Hey, you are kidding me, aren't you?
The hammer is in a plastic evidence bag. Karen washes her face, then dries it. She stops when she hears Andy talking. Pretty Karen puts her ear to his room door. She bursts in and switches on the light.
Andy, who are you talking to?
Chucky.
Karen slowly walks towards the doll in the chair. Its eyes gleam. Andy's sitting on the floor in front of him.
Chucky, huh?
Yeah, sure, Chucky. He's sitting right over there.
Karen sits on the bed.
Chucky's been talking to you too, hasn't he? What's he been saying?
All kinds of things. His real name is Charles Lee Ray, and he's been sent down from heaven by Daddy to play with me.
Karen picks up Andy and sits him on her knee.
He was a real bitch and got what she deserved.
And how can you say something so horrible?
I didn't say it, Chucky did.
Andy, stop it. You know perfectly well that you're making this up.
But I'm not. Chucky's alive. Really, he
Andy,
is.
Chucky. Chucky's a doll. He's made of plastic and stuffing. Look at him. Look at him. Now, does he look like anything else to you? Huh?
Don't. You'll hurt him.
Andy, look. Now, you don't really think that Chucky is alive, do you?
But he is.
Andy, stop it! Please!
The It's because of Aunt Maggie you're yelling at me, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. I'll start making up stories.
Karen looks relieved and holds his chin in the fingertips of one hand.
Thanks, champ. Do you want to sleep in with me tonight?
No, it's all right. I've got Chucky.
He hugs Chucky to him. Andy gets into bed with his doll. Karen tucks them in. She kisses Andy and gently taps his nose with a finger. She switches off the light, waves to Andy and shuts the door. She then listens at the door.
You're right, Chucky. She didn't believe me.
Chucky turns his head and sees her shadow beneath the door.
Hi, I like to be hugged.
Good. I'd love to hug you too.
Karen looks relieved again and turns away. Chucky's eyes snap shut. Snowy playground.
Hey. You sure you're all right about last night? No bad dreams about Aunt Maggie? And Chucky's only a doll, right?
Andy nods.
All right, off to school with you then. I love you tons.
Andy heads inside the school carrying Chucky and turns briefly to wave at Karen. Karen, wearing knee-length boots and a camel hair coat, walks off along the snowy sidewalk. Andy comes back out of school with Chucky and glances about. He heads down the school steps and off along the residential street. A train snakes along a snowy metropolitan track. Chucky and Andy are on the train, which crosses a bridge. Andy, who's wearing a bobble hat, whispers to Chucky, who's sitting beside him. Andy finishes whispering to Chucky, but sits with his arm around him and snuggles him close. A train passes in the opposite direction.
43rd Street, next stop, 47.
Andy looks out at the snowy, derelict industrial landscape. The train is fairly crowded. Holding Chucky around the neck, Andy gets off the train with him. He marches along a busy platform, then stops as Chucky whispers something to him. Andy scowls and walks past a group of tramps around braziers on the rubble-strewn ground beneath the railway track. Andy arrives before a derelict house in a very run-down area.
Is that Eddie's?
Andy puts his ear to Chucky's lips.
You stay here. I have to go tinkle.
Andy puts Chucky down in an abandoned rocking chair and toddles off between other bits of abandoned furniture. Chucky stares across at the house.
I'll be right there, Chucky.
The empty chair rocks. Someone speeds towards the house and up the front steps to the door. Inside the squalid house, Eddie lies dressed and asleep on a bed, a gun beside him. Small fingers push open a kitchen door. Rats scamper among the remains of food. A calendar and a drainer swings back and forth, as if something's inside it. A small plasticky hand reaches out to an oven door and opens it. The sound wakes Eddie, who springs up, gun in hand. A match is lit in the shadowy kitchen and the small plasticky hand turns a knob on the oven. Andy puts on his mittens as he returns to find the rocking chair empty.
Chucky! Chucky!
Dark-haired Eddie makes his way hurriedly along a landing. He pauses, descends a few stairs and cocks his gun. He slowly descends the stairs. Eddie freezes for a moment, hearing the footsteps, then continues his descent, gun aimed. Dishevelled and in his 30s, he's unshaven and looks tense. Hearing the noise, Eddie lets off a few shots. Andy hears and runs towards the house. Eddie kicks in a door and enters a shadowy room. Eddie walks along through the ramshackle house, aiming his gun.
Chucky!
Hearing Andy, he spins round and aims at the boy, then lowers the gun with a sigh. Hearing the laugh, Eddie wheels round and hurries to a closed door and stands beside it, gun at the ready.
Chucky!
Andy's outside the house. Outside the kitchen, Eddie cocks his gun. Eddie bursts into the kitchen and fires. The house explodes into flames and eventually collapses into a heap of smouldering rubble. Karen hurries into the police department.
Oh, Detective Norris, I came as soon as I got your message.
You haven't been to school to pick up your son yet?
No. No, I came directly from work. Why?
Let's go into my office.
There's something wrong with Andy.
Please.
He slams down a file.
I don't know how to tell you this, Miss Barkley.
Tell me what?
Do you have any idea why your Aunt Maggie fell out of that window?
Yes.
Could you tell me why?
Because she saw Chucky and it scared her so much she fell out.
Oh, she did, huh? So why did Chucky want you to see Eddie Caputo?
Mommy!
Karen hugs Andy close. Mike nods the other guy out of the room.
Come on. Now listen to me, okay? Nobody believes you about Chucky. Unless you start telling the truth. Right now. They're going to take you away from me.
You hear that, Chucky? They're taking me away unless you say something. Please, say something. Come on, Chucky, say something. Tell me why you lied to me about everything. Come on, Chucky, say something. Tell me.
Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'm your friend to the end. Heidi-ho, ha ha ha.
Mommy, he's doing it on purpose. He told me never to tell about him or he'd kill me.
Mrs. Barkley, my name is Dr. Ardmore. I'm from County General. I've seen more than enough. Maybe Andy should spend a couple of days with us.
The doctor's in an observation room. Karen arrives home with Chucky and throws down her keys. She puts down her shoulder bag and sits despondently on the couch with Chucky on her knee. She turns Chucky to face her, then sets him down on the coffee table in front of her and studies him. His eyes stare out of his freckled face, and he wears a lifeless smile.
Say something, you little bastard. Say something, damn it!
Hi, I like to be hugged.
Chucky's eyes blink.
Hmm.
Karen wipes her hand across her mouth, then gets up abruptly and removes her coat. She throws it down onto the couch and goes to the kitchen. She puts on the light and gets a glass of water. Karen sips the water, then spots the box Chucky came in standing in the kitchen. She puts down her glass and goes over to the box. She picks up the box and studies it.
He wants you for a best friend. Yeah, sure.
Two packaged batteries fall out of the box. Karen looks puzzled. She reads, "Batteries included," written on the box. She drops the box and spins round. Chucky is still sitting on the coffee table. Karen walks slowly towards the doll. She stands before Chucky, then hesitantly reaches out to pick him up. She turns Chucky over and parts his clothes at the back. Beneath is a panel for the batteries. She opens the panel.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
There were no batteries in him. She throws Chucky down and the doll rolls beneath the couch. Karen kneels down beside the couch and pauses before slowly peeping beneath it. She lifts the material skirting the base of the couch slightly and looks into darkness. She lifts the material higher to give more light and sees Chucky on his back. She slowly reaches a hand towards him and prods him. He's limp and lifeless. Holding him by one leg, Karen gradually draws him out from beneath the couch. His leg twitches. She seizes him and sits him on the edge of the couch.
Talk to me.
Come on, talk.
I said talk to me, damn it! All right. Then I'm gonna make you talk.
She shakes Chucky, then carries him over to a fireplace. She removes the guard and reaches for a match from a pot on the mantelpiece. She turns on gas, strikes the match, and throws it into the fireplace. Flames leap up.
I said talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You stupid bitch, you filthy slut! Did you fuck with me?
No!
She fights him. Chucky launches himself at her, trying to throttle her. She pushes his arm away, but he sinks his teeth into her arm. Karen throws him off, but bite marks are left on her forearm. The now maniacal-looking doll Chucky runs and she chases. She reaches her apartment door to hear the lift door slam. The lift begins to descend. Karen runs down the stairs after it. She stumbles down steps. The lift sinks past her, and she gives chase again. When she reaches the foyer, the lift is empty. She runs out of the front doors and looks down the snowy, dark street. There's no sign of Chucky. A yellow cab pulls up in the night. Karen gets out and sprints towards the police department. Mike's coming out.
Oh, Detective Norris!
Miss Barkley, what are you doing back here?
Andy was telling the truth. Chucky is alive and he killed Eddie Caputo.
What?
I took him home to my apartment. I was about to throw away the box that he came in when the batteries fell out. Don't you see? He's been moving and talking for days without any batteries in him.
What are you talking about?
how I found out the doll was alive. See, I threatened to throw him into the fireplace. When all of a sudden he came alive in my hand. I dropped him and he got up and ran out of the apartment.
Good night, Mrs. Barcher.
Wait a minute! I am telling you the truth! He killed Maggie. He killed Eddie Caputo.
Look, Mrs. Barkley, I sympathize with you. I really do. I hated what happened in there today. But lying is not going to help
your son. Lying? Does this look like I'm lying?
The bite mark.
How did you get those?
Chucky bit me.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh. All right, don't believe me.
Where are you going?
To find Chucky.
How are you going to do that?
I bought him from a peddler where I work. I'll start there.
That isn't a good part of town to be in at this time of night. Mrs. Barkley, do you hear me? You don't want to go down there at this time of night!
He watches her speed off in the cab.
God damn it.
Karen walks in the night. She walks beneath a railway bridge. Steam rises above the icy pavement. Karen approaches two tramps round a burning brazier and speaks to them briefly. They shake their heads. She encounters a bearded man with wild hair and impersonates Chucky's smile, putting a hand to her bared teeth. The hirsute man shakes his head. She walks on through the night, her breath billowing from her mouth. She pulls up her coat collar and folds her arms around her as she walks. A man in a wheelchair passes her going in the opposite direction. She walks past a shuttered building and into shadows. A series of street bums shake their heads. Karen finds herself in a cardboard city of tramps lit by light from a bonfire.
What's she doing here?
Karen suddenly peers through flames.
Hey! Excuse me! Mister!
It's the peddler who tries to avoid her.
Mister! I'm not gonna hurt you! Do you remember me?
No, no.
I'm sorry. I bought a doll from you in back of Carson's department store with my friend yesterday.
Doll?
Yes, a good guy doll. You sold it to me. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, doll. What about it?
Where did you get it?
What do you give me if I tell you?
Well, I don't have much for that. You're welcome to whatever I have.
He snatches money from her.
Not enough. What else you got?
That's all I've got.
All you got?
What? Yes.
All you got?
Wait a minute.
No, you got a lot.
No. No. Oh, no. No, wait. No! No! No!
Hey. Oh, Christ, he's a cop! All right, what about the rest of you? You want a party too?
They scatter as Mike draws his gun on them. He tucks the gun into his belt and hauls up the peddler he punched.
All right, now, you want to ask the lady's question now, huh? Where'd you get the doll from?
I don't know nothing about no doll.
No, you're not going to know nothing about nothing in a minute unless you talk to me. Now, talk!
A burned-out toy store on Wabash. That's where I got it.
Get out of here.
Mike flings him away.
Nothing.
He strides off.
Well, wait a minute. Something the peddler said upset you. What was it?
I just told you. Nothing.
God damn it! My son's life is at stake. Now, what was it?
The place where he said he got the doll. Charles Lee Ray died there.
Who?
The Lakeshore Strangler, the man who's partners with Eddie Caputo. Oh, hey. Where are you going now?
Wabash and Van Buren.
There's nothing there. It's an abandoned wreck of a store. Well, why don't you believe me? It was struck by lightning the night that Charles Lee Ray died.
She stops and turns to him.
How do you know that?
Because I was there. I was the man who killed him.
Karen walks back up to Mike and looks him in the eye.
Why didn't you tell me?
It's not exactly the kind of thing you tell someone. Come on, let me take you home. Give me some sleep.
Did he say anything? Anything at all?
Oh.
Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah. He threatened to kill me and Eddie Caputo.
Mike steers her into his car and shuts the door. They pull up outside her apartment block.
I'm sorry you couldn't find anything to help Andy. I really am.
But I did. I found out that Chucky is Charles Lee Ray. The only thing I don't know is how he got inside the doll.
Mike opens the door for her.
Good night, Mrs. Barkley.
Where did Charles Lee Ray live?
Look, please, will you just get out of the car?
Hey, just tell me where he lived. Don't you understand? Andy's life depends on it.
7:30, Stony Island, the south side. But I've already checked the place out. There's nothing there. Now, good night.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
Home to get some sleep.
No, you can't do that. Oh, don't you see? You just said it. Chucky killed Caputo. That leaves you.
That does it.
Oh, please, listen to me.
He gets out and marches round to her side and drags her from the car.
I am telling you the truth. Why won't you believe me?
Because I'm sane, Mrs. Barkley. Sane and rational.
Okay. All right. All right. Do you remember what you said the first night you met me in my apartment?
What about it?
You said you didn't like loose ends. Well, I'm a loose end. You can't just let go what I said tonight without checking it out.
For the last time, Mrs. Barkley, good night.
Oh, my...
She whacks his car as he drives off, a file marked Charles Lee Ray. Mike takes it from a filing cabinet in an office, then walks out. Mike's raincoat is slung over his shoulder as he hurries out of the police department and across to his car. Mike takes out a cigarette and taps it on something as he drives. He puts the cigarette in his mouth and pushes a lighter on the dash. The silhouette of a small head rises behind him. A cord wrenches Mike's head back. Chucky's strangling Mike. The car skids and swerves as Mike struggles. The car sideswipes a parked car. Mike's feet search frantically for the pedals, and his hand reaches out for the lighter on the dash, accidentally changing radio channels. Chucky lets go as Mike slams the hot lighter into his cheek. The car smashes into a garbage can. As Mike coughs and tries to drive, Chucky stabs a large knife repeatedly through the backrest, narrowly missing Mike each time it thrusts. The knife pokes up through the seat and between Mike's legs. He rises sharply to dodge it as he drives. The knife thrusts repeatedly. A workman flees as Mike's car careers into his brazier and zooms on. Chucky is now working the car's pedals with his hands. Mike fights for control of the car as Chucky presses down on the accelerator. The car skims a wall, kicking up sparks as it goes. The car rolls and slides to a halt on its roof. A wheel spins. Inside, Mike scans around anxiously, then begins to bandage his hand with a hanky. Chucky lunges the knife through the car window. Mike dodges it, and it plunges into the backrest.
Won't do you any good, Mikey! You can't hurt me!
Mike wildly points his gun at the car roof. Chucky runs across the bonnet. Mike kicks the car angrily. Breathing heavily, Mike lies on his back aiming his gun. His eyes dart about. He's unaware of Chucky pulling the knife out of the backrest. Mike shuffles away from the window and the slashing noise. Chucky launches himself at Mike with the knife and Mike shoots him. Chucky's blown back, then runs off. Mike throws back his head with a sigh. Day, in the stairwell of a dingy apartment block, Karen hands an elderly man money and he shuffles off. Karen slowly approaches the open doorway of an apartment and enters. She She stares at a wall on which is a painting of a naked man and woman and various symbols. Grotesque, cadaverous images adorn other walls. There's a model of a body in a contorted crab position. Also a bare-chested image of a man resembling Charles Lee Ray, who wears a large medallion. Karen inhales deeply. She walks further into the shadowy dwelling to examine the mural of the man and the woman. The woman is kneeling before a black-faced figure. He wears a top hat with horns. The figure also has beads strung about him and resembles a voodoo figurehead. Karen steps back and studies it. She turns and sees words painted in red on a wall. "Oh, thank you, mighty Dambala, for life after death." Karen looks back sharply to the voodoo figure. A silhouette of a man walking up behind her.
Karen!
She turns to face Mike, who emerges from the shadows.
What are you doing here?
After I talked to you last night, I decided to go back to the station and pull Ray's file. I learned a couple of things. His nickname was Chucky, and he spent a lot of time with this man.
He shows her a photo of a black man. She studies it, then looks to the painted voodoo figure.
Now all we have to do is find him before Chucky does.
The black man from the photo prepares a cup of tea in his modest kitchen.
Hello, John.
John, the black man, looks about.
Here.
By the window.
Hi. It's me, Chucky.
What do you think? The gree-gree work?
You know, when I came here learning all that stuff about how to beat death, I thought maybe you were pulling my chain. But not now. Not now. Only one problem.
What?
This. I didn't think anybody could hurt me. But last night I got shot. You know something? It hurt. It hurt like a son of a bitch it even bled. And why is that, John?
You're turning human.
What?
The more time you spend in that body, the more human you become.
You mean I have to live out the rest of my life in this body? No fucking way! You got me into this, you get me out!
I can't do that, Chucky.
Why not?
Because you're an abomination. An outrage against nature! You perverted everything I've taught you and used it for evil, and you have to be stopped!
John runs to the phone. Lit candles are everywhere.
You know, I thought something like this might happen. That's why I prepared for it.
What are you talking about?
Your own personal mojo, Doc.
A voodoo doll.
Give me that.
Sure, how do you want it? Broken leg? Oh!
Chucky snaps the doll's leg.
Shouldn't tell your customers where you hide things like this, John. Gets you in trouble every time. Now how do I get out of this body?
No, I won't tell you.
Yeah? Tell me you died, John. Your choice.
No, I'll tell you.
Chucky's drawn his knife.
You had to transfer your soul out of the doll into that of the first human being you revealed your true self to.
You mean the first person I let in on the fact that I was really alive? I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. The first person I let in on my little secret was a 6-year-old kid. I'm gonna be 6 years old again. Well, John, it's been fun, but I gotta go. I have a date with a 6-year-old boy. And you have a date with death. So long, John.
Chucky stabs the doll and John bleeds from the chest. Mike and Karen pull up in an unmarked car, its blue light flashing. They're outside a ramshackle house. They run up steps and duck beneath washing on a line. Mike stops Karen.
Hold it! Wait.
Mike shoulders the door open into John's, where he lies on the floor covered in blood.
Oh, my God.
Mike goes to the phone.
Too late.
What?
must. Let's get his soul into him like he got into Dahl.
What?
You must stop him before he can say the chant. Kill him before he can say it.
But how? How?
The heart. His heart is almost human. It's the only way through the heart.
John's eyes glaze over. Andy sits in a cell, hugging a pillow to him. He starts hearing a noise and runs to look out of the barred window. A small figure scuttles up fire escape steps below. Andy runs to his door.
Help me, Dr. Ardmore! Chucky's here!
Andy drops down from hanging onto the hatch of the cell door and runs back to the window to look out. Chucky's making steady progress.
I don't see anybody.
But, Doctor, Chucky's here, and he's going to kill me.
Ardmore hurries away.
But Chucky is here, and he's going to kill me! Please don't leave me, please.
Chucky appears at a barred window. An orderly sits writing at a desk outside the cells. A clipboard with Andy's name and the number 7 on it hangs on the wall in front of him, and there's a set of keys on the desk. The orderly is unaware of Chucky's small hand reaching up for the keys. Chucky opens cell 7. He drops the keys and pulls out his knife as he walks towards Andy's bed where there's a bulge under the blanket. Little Chucky hops on the bed, gets astride the bulge and pulls back the covers. There's only a pillow beneath.
No!
Andy runs from hiding and grabs the keys.
Stop!
Hey, wait a minute.
Stop here!
Andy's unlocked a door and runs down a hospital corridor. He turns off into an operating theatre and hides beneath a trolley, which is draped with a sheet.
Check the north corridor!
Andy comes out of hiding. The theatre light is switched on. Chucky leaps at Andy, takes him down, then rolls away. Andy grabs a scalpel from the instrument tray they've knocked over. He stands and backs into a stand on wheels. Andy backs away into another appliance, falls, then gets up again. He edges along a wall, scalpel in hand.
Easy, easy. It's all right, Andy, it's all right. You're not going to need this anymore, all right?
But I do! Chucky's in that room and
no.
He's trying to kill me!
No, no, Andy, it's going to be all right. I'm here now, and I'm going to protect you. Andy, easy, boy. Easy. Come on, nobody's here.
No, please, they'll kill you too.
And Andy, now.
No, please, listen to me. Please!
Andy, now this is just going to sting you for 1 second.
Andy knocks off Ardmore's specs as he's about to inject him. Chucky plunges the scalpel into Ardmore's leg and Ardmore falls to the floor. Chucky puts a metal band around the doctor's head and goes to a machine attached to it. Chucky presses a button and the doctor convulses.
Stop!
Ardmore's face chars as the shocks burn him. The shocks stop and Ardmore lies still. Blood runs from his mouth. His eyes stare glassily. Andy runs off. Find his colleague at the hospital.
What happened?
Look, miss, can you just excuse us for a minute here,
what?
All right?
The men move aside.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Fried into a crisp with the electric shock machine and then he escaped.
Escaped? Where?
We don't know. But, bet she does.
They look over at Karen talking to a little girl who's sitting on the floor.
Chucky, have you seen Chucky anywhere? Where's Chucky?
kid's doll, the same one that was at the station house. Have you seen him anywhere?
What am I going to know about a doll? Where are you going?
Mike rushes over to Karen and draws her away.
I think Andy did it.
I know. The little girl said that Chucky was here and that he was looking for Andy.
Well, where would Andy go?
He'd go home. I always told him to go there if he was in trouble.
Does he have a key?
Under the mat.
Come on. We don't have this time.
At home, Andy locks the apartment door, pulls away the hall rug and drags a bench chair over to the door and puts it across the door. Andy puts a nearby sledge on the chair to weight it down. A couple in the elevator.
George, some child left their doll in the elevator.
Leave it alone. Whoever left it there will come back looking for it.
The elevator stops and the couple get out. The woman looks back at Chucky, who's sitting in the corner.
Ugly doll. Fuck you.
Andy runs into his bedroom. He spins around, scanning the room, then runs to a louvered cupboard. He opens it and gets in, huddling up amid the toys. The elevator reaches the top floor. Chucky gets out and walks along a grid that forms a landing. Andy hugs his coat to him, then spots a baseball bat and a box of toys nearby. He puts down his coat and goes to the box. Andy takes out a remote car and its controls, then reaches into the box for the baseball bat. The shadowy apartment. Chucky drops down the chimney in a cloud of soot and kicks away the fire guard. Andy holds the baseball bat at the ready. Chucky's knife is drawn as he walks along the hall towards Andy's bedroom. Andy, bat at the ready, appears gingerly out of the shadows. Andy swipes at Chucky, who ducks. Andy drops the bat and runs. Chucky walks along, knife raised and ready to strike. Andy runs into the shadowy kitchen, falls, then gets up and runs into the living room. He scans about as he steps backwards. Chucky knocks him out from behind. Mike and Karen pull up at the apartments and run inside. Chucky rolls Andy over onto his back, then lays a hand on Andy's forehead and begins to chant.
Ade dui dembela.
Mike and Karen run up the stairs beside the elevator shaft.
Marincella Santaria. Oya Shango, Yenya Makumba.
Dark clouds gush out of the top of the building.
Give me the power, I beg of you!
Lightning rips about the building. Mike and Karen pause in the stairwell when they see it.
Le veu mercier de Bois Chaillot, Sakou de Téame Poix des Morts.
Mike tries to shoulder open the apartment door. Mike and Karen burst in. Karen grabs Chucky, who bites her. Mike throws him aside, but Chucky slashes at his leg. Mike drops to the floor.
Stick your Andy.
Mike takes out a gun that's tucked into his boot.
Karen,
Karen, take this. Take it.
Mike!
He gives her the gun.
Me.
Mike moves stealthily through the shadowy apartment. He kicks open a door, aims his gun, and turns on the light. Limping, he moves slowly into the ensuite room and scans about cautiously. He kneels with difficulty at the base of the bed. He's watched as he looks beneath the bed. Chucky whacks him with the bat. Mike drops. Chucky makes to strike again. Karen shoots Chucky in the leg.
What's wrong? Gun jam?
Chucky runs at her. Karen retreats and trips. Chucky has her pinned down and is watching. Karen pushes Chucky off into the fireplace and traps him behind the guard. Rocked by the force of Chucky struggling, Karen strains to keep the guard in place and reaches for the matchpot on the mantelpiece. It drops and breaks. Andy gapes as she tries to pick up a spilled match but can't reach it. Karen frantically reaches for the gas tap and turns it on. Andy comes to his senses and runs to the matches. He picks one up and strikes it against the fireplace.
Andy, no, please. We're friends to the end, remember?
This is the end, friend.
Andy drops the match behind the guard and flames leap up in the fireplace. Karen and Andy have stepped back. Chucky, on fire, bursts out into the room. Andy claps a hand to his mouth as he and Karen watch a blazing Chucky crawl. Chucky lies on his back, writhing. Chucky falls still and the flames subside, leaving a smouldering and charred doll. Karen hugs Andy.
Oh, my baby.
Karen! Andy! You all right?
She picks Andy up and runs to her room.
Andy, give me the first aid kit under the kitchen sink really fast, okay?
What happened?
Oh, God. Chucky's dead.
Mike lies back groggily on the carpet. Karen turns on another light and Andy gets the first aid kit from the kitchen. He looks towards Chucky's charred remains.
Mommy, Chucky's gone.
Andy, hurry up! Andy?
Andy makes to run to her but is tripped. Andy falls on his face, then turns over to see a charred and smouldering Chucky standing over him with his knife. Chucky's face is black and has melted.
Hello, Andy.
Chucky raises his knife.
Mommy!
Give me the boy and I'll let you live, do you hear me? Give me the boy!
Andy's run to Karen, who's locked the door against Chucky. She suddenly realizes Chucky's heading into the ensuite room from the hallway and rushes to lock that door, but Chucky leaps at the handle and she struggles to hold the door closed. She manages to secure it.
Mommy!
Chucky's knife slashes through the door. Each time he slashes, the knife point narrowly misses Karen's face. He moves away from the door. Chucky bursts in through the untended door. Karen takes Andy's hand, runs out through the bathroom and into the hall.
me the boy!
Karen shoots Chucky again. He teeters, knife raised. Karen blows his head off, and it bounces down the hallway. A headless Chucky advances towards her. She shoots off one of his arms. She blows a foot off, and Chucky falls. He's still moving. Karen aiming the gun and Andy walking behind her moves slowly towards Chucky. She stands tensely over the twitching, writhing remains of Chucky and aims her gun, holding it with both hands. She appears to shoot Chucky in the chest.
What the hell's going on here? Oh, hey,
Karen!
She leaves his colleague and runs to Mike with Andy. The sidekick follows and hurriedly makes a call from the bedroom phone.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I got a cop down here. Multiple stab wounds, but the Brewster Apartments are North Grand Street. Make it fast.
All right, they're going to be here in 10 minutes. Now tell me what happened.
The kid was right. The doll's alive. He almost got the three of us.
Come on, what are you talking about?
You don't believe me? All right, well, go on. Check it out in the hall. It's scattered all over the place. But don't touch it. Do you understand me? Don't you touch one part of it.
All right, look, take it easy, okay? Just relax yourself, all right? All right.
The colleague goes out into the hallway where Chucky is scattered about. The cop goes over to Chuck's charred head, squats down, and pokes it. He pokes it again. He picks up the head, smiles, and shakes his head as he carries the part back down the hallway, juggling it from hand to hand like a football. He returns to Mike, who's being tended by Karen, and slaps the head on top of the TV. Andy watches.
Okay, Mike. I'd like you to take a look at this thing, okay? Because there's no way this thing is alive.
I thought I told you not to touch it.
Mike, will you be sensible? Come on, look! It's as dead as they come! It's dead!
A charred hand springs out from a vent behind him and grabs the colleague around the neck. Mike aims as his colleague struggles with the arm. The head rolls to the floor.
Kill him now!
Mike can't get a clear shot. Karen wrenches the body and arm off and throws it aside. It lands beside the head. The body stirs and its one arm reaches for a curtain nearby. The body pulls itself up to its one foot. The head yells.
Kill him! Kill him all!
The heart! Shoot him in the heart!
The shot hurls Chucky back against a wall and blood spatters over it. Mike continues aiming his gun while he and the others watch as life gradually ebbs from the charred body. Mike starts to lower his gun.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
The eyes in the head come to life briefly, then glaze over. Mike glances over to his unnerved-looking colleague.
You believe me now?
Yeah?
But who's gonna believe me?
Mike considers.
Come on.
Here we go!
They help Mike to his feet. As Karen and his colleague help Mike out, Andy stares down at Chucky's charred remains. Karen hurries back to Andy, whose eyes are fixed on the remains.
Andy, come on. We're going to go to the hospital with Mike. Let's go.
Andy keeps his eyes fixed on the remains as she leads him away. She turns out the light. The image freezes on Andy looking back through a gap in the door at Chucky. ITFC audio description.